You should commend yourselves, parents, for bringing your little ones to church. Amen. That's right. He said amen. I heard him. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 6 this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Pretty familiar passage of Scripture to most, I'm sure. 2 Kings chapter 6 will be in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 7. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord. I know we've came before you already, but Lord, never hurts to come again. Lord, thank you for meeting with us already in song. Lord, if we were to leave here right now, we could leave here safely knowing that you've met with us in song this morning. But Lord, we sure would love for you to meet with us through your word this morning. We'd love to hear from heaven. Lord, cleanse me of sin now, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow your people to hear your voice this morning. Just use me as a vessel. Lord, allow me to only say what you want me to say. God, just get me out of the way and you just take over. And Lord, we sure will be thankful and we'll praise you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I've been wanting to preach this message for a while. The Lord hasn't let me do it until now. And I believe the time is right. I don't believe the Lord puts messages on my heart. I know one thing, he convicts me in the messages, but I also know that he knows his people better than I'll ever know his people. And I believe it's important to heed to the Spirit of the Lord when he says to preach something, I think I should do it. Because I don't know why God wants me to preach this, but I know this, message, when it came about years ago, I came up with this message probably 5 years ago. And I'll tell you what, I was going through a pretty difficult time in my life, a time where I had to realize some things that if I was going to continue to go down the path I was going, not necessarily in sin, but more or less in bitterness and anger over just my past and things that had happened to me and things that I didn't think was fair. And if I were going to ever be effective for the Lord had to show me some things, that there were some things I had to do. I had to forgive. See, God works in forgiveness, guys. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven. God is about forgiveness. He does not like bitterness. He doesn't like anger. He doesn't like grudges. He doesn't like to see who can hold the longest grudge. And let me tell you, a lot of us can hold some pretty long grudges. I'm sure if you could testify. But listen, that's all of the devil. God does not work in that. And this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, Pick Up Your Axe Head. Please, some of you know this story. Let's start in verse number 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? Pay attention to that phrase right there. Where fell it? We're going to come back to it, but just remember, where fell it? You say, what does that mean? Just pay attention to it. Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did what, church? Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Now, how many has ever seen iron swim before? Not me. But really and truly, I want you to pay attention to that slogan, Where fell it? And then the next sentence says, And he showed him the place. To get started, I want to say, in your life, many of us right now, no doubt about it, are sitting here, and some of us are bitter, some of us are angry, some of us are upset, some of us just absolutely really can't stand the thought of hearing someone's name because of something they've done to us. Well, can I say something to you? All the other things that happen, your anger, your bitterness, those are not your real problem. Those are side effects of the actual problem. Remember, where fell it? And he took him to the place. This morning, I want to take you and your minds back to it on a journey If this applies to you, I really want to take you down a journey of where fell it? Where was it in life that your bitterness began? What is it that really triggers your mind when you get angry and you get bitter and you're heartbroken and you just can't stand the thought of that person or that individual or someone that hurt you or someone that did something? Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you're mad at the Lord. But where fell it this morning? He took him to the place. Can I tell you something before we get into the message? Until you go to the place, and this is the hard part, I know it's not easy, but until you revisit where fell it, you're never going to get the help you need. The help lies in forgiveness of where fell it. So this morning, let's look at this group of people and what they're doing. These people were preparing a place to dwell. That meant they were going there for a while. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 27. Save your place there. Not going to be moving around in the Bible a lot this morning. But I just want to show you a couple of things here. The Bible teaches us some steps for preparation. Proverbs 24 and verse 27, the Bible says, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." Here we have a group of people, the Bible says in verse 1 and back in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." In other words, what they were saying, there's not enough room for here anymore. It's not a comfortable place. But did you notice? They went to their preacher. They went to the man of God, the one who could go before God for them. Listen, Jesus had not yet died, so therefore they were still in place where the man of God was to take place for all that. Understand that. Now we know there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The veil has been rent. You have access to the Father. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to mom. You don't have to go to dad. Listen, that's all been taken care of. But pay attention. These people cared what the man of God thought about their problem. He was the one answering to God for them. So they said, "Elisha, the place where we dwell is too straight. This isn't working anymore, pal. What do you think about this?" Look at verse 2. "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." So now, these men are not only willing to just leave, and not, listen, don't ever leave for the wrong reason. Can I just stop right there and say that? Don't ever leave for the wrong reason. As they left, they were prepared to leave. It said they took every man a beam. So in other words, when they left, they had a reason to leave. They had something they were going to prepare elsewhere. When you just leave because you're upset, because your feelings are hurt, preacher said something you didn't like, church member did something, something happened, and listen, don't leave for those reasons. That's the devil. God works in unity. Don't ever leave for no reason. But these men were carrying a beam. But look at verse 3. Elisha had told them in verse 2, "Go." They got the man of God's blessing to go. But look at this. And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." Church, these people did not want to go without God. They wanted the man of God that was responsible for them spiritually. I mean, who knows, financially, physically. I mean, he's the one that went to the Lord on behalf of these people. They didn't want to go without that. Folks, where are we at this morning? How many of you are comfortable just saying, "You know what, if I could just get out from under the wing of the church, if I could just have no accountability, everything would be so much better"? That's the devil. Resist that. Bring every thought captive into obedience unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen, unless you have your spiritual, if your preacher, your pastor, whoever you look up to spiritually is not doing right and you know it, then by all means, look for somebody else to go to. But listen, you should seek wise counsel before you make crazy decisions in life. It's okay to go to somebody else and say, "What do you think about this?" And not just anyone, someone who's wise in biblical thinking. Someone who's going to give you a biblical answer. Not someone, listen, it's super easy to make up your mind and say, "Oh, I know exactly what this friend will tell me. She'll think just like I'm thinking, or he'll think just like I'm thinking. What do you think? I knew you'd agree with me. Appreciate it. That's all I needed." Listen, go to someone that's going to give you some wise counsel. The Bible says, "In a multitude of counselors, there's safety," is what the book of Proverbs teaches us. But look at verse 4. "So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood." Here they are now. They're where they're going. They brought their beams with them, and immediately they're getting to work. Remember, they didn't leave for no reason. Preparation takes a lot of work. And you notice the Bible didn't just say he or she cut down wood. It said they cut down wood. I'll say it again. God likes unity. Everyone was on board with what was going on. They were doing the right thing. They had the man of God's blessings on them. The man of God was with them. And can I tell you this? Every time you're doing something right, the devil's going to fight. Understand, if the devil's not fighting you, you're probably not doing something right. He's not going to fight someone who's on his team. Think about that. That'd be crazy for him to fight you if he knows he's got your mind taken over. Why would he? He doesn't need to. You're already effective for him. But listen, it's when you're doing things right, when you're doing the work, you've prepared your place, you've taken these beams from your old place, you're taking them to the new place, you get to the new place, you get to work, and let me tell you something, that's when the devil's going to come in, right now. But what we do when the devil comes is up to us. Remember, he's seeking whom he may devour. He does not have permission to do anything. Don't ever let someone tell you that. That is anti-Bible. That's anti-God. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may. The word is permissible. You have to literally invite the devil to have leeway in your life. You know, he'll start with a thought, and you might say, that thought's not of God, and get rid of that thought, and guess what? Resist the devil, and he'll flee. But maybe he'll send a thought later on down the road, and you'll say, you know, I resisted that once. And this thought isn't so bad. And here's what happens. You turn that doorknob, and that door cracks open, and the devil goes, poof! In he comes. You ever think about how this works? We don't think about when we just do the little sin. It's not until we've done something outrageous that we never thought we were capable of doing until we realize, oh my goodness, this started way back here when I just didn't take that thought captive. Church, it's all Bible-based. But they're doing good. Look at verse 4. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Prepare thy work without. Bring the right tools. What should I bring when I'm going to prepare my work? Well, I can tell you this. You ought to bring your Bibles. That's a good tool to have in your spiritual toolbox, isn't it? You ought to bring prayer along. Pray through every situation. Even if you think you got it all figured out, pray through every situation. Hey, I don't like saying this because I'm a pastor now, but I do believe if your pastor's right with the Lord and he's answering, you know, and he's responsible and going to take accountable and is accountable for you, if your pastor's in line with the Lord and doing right, I think you ought to have your pastor behind you in your decisions. Do you know when I left Alaska? I tried to leave Alaska 2 times prior to actually leaving. Both times, I'll tell you the very reason I did not leave. In my mind, I thought this is right. This has got to be right. And I'll tell you the first scenario. First scenario, a man came to me back then. He was a hardcore King James Bible preacher, good ministry. He was going to start a church in Ohio, and he came to my wife and I, and he said, listen, I'd really love you guys to come with me, help me start this church. I want you to take over the music in my church. And we're like, oh, that's a great idea. And listen, when you live in Alaska one winter, anything sounds good to get out. I promise. The summer times are great, but I'm saying like, okay, this must be God. So what do I do? I'm like, okay, Crystal, we're going to go to Ohio. I start looking online at houses. I start looking for cars. I start looking for jobs. And I went to my preacher and he said, Drew, you haven't prayed much about this, have you? And I'm like, well, of course you don't want me to leave. I got your daughter and 4 of your grandkids at the time. And I'll be honest with you, that was my thought towards my preacher. He said, Drew, trust me. You don't need to go there. So I called the man. I said, listen, I talked to my preacher about this. He doesn't think it's a great idea, and I'm not going to come. Today, they're non-denominational, non-King James. Hey, what if I'd have went? You know what I did? I listened to my preacher. It's okay. I listened to him. Second time, just 3 years ago, I tried to leave. 2 years ago, actually. I was going to go out into evangelism, and we actually came down. We did a 6 or 7 week trip down here, preached in a lot of churches, and I thought for sure this is the right thing for me to do. Nope. I got back, and it's a weird story, but, you know, the Lord used Fannin Road Baptist Church in Montgomery to get me here. He didn't. That wasn't my final destination. This, I believe, is my final destination, and I'm so thankful for that. But I came back, and I said, look, I think evangelism's it. And while we were down, one of the churches we preached in was Fannin Road Baptist Church, and the preacher there said, hey, we'd really like to hire you as a youth pastor. We'd like you to get down here, get you to work. So I got back, and I said, you know, I'm not interested in going to that church. To be quite honest with you, I didn't like the church. It was pretty much the same stripe as us, but just, you ever been in a church where there's some negativity and it just kind of overtakes you? I'm nothing bad. I'm just saying, it just wasn't for me, and I knew it. But the Lord took me there to put me through a trial to test me. And here's what happened. I got back to Alaska. My father-in-law said, well, when are you leaving? I said, I'm not leaving. I'm not going. A month went by. He pulls me in. He says, when are you moving to Montgomery? I said, I told you I don't want to move to Montgomery. I have no desire to go to Montgomery. He said, I really think you should pray about it. I said, okay. Another month went by. Sunday morning, I walk into church. He said, Drew, come here. I said, sit down. He said, you got plans to leave yet? He said, I think the Lord wants you to move to Montgomery. I said, no, I don't have plans. Another month went by. He calls me in again. He said, Drew, you know you're supposed to leave. The time has come. It's time for you to go. And I said, and listen, I knew it in my heart. The Lord had been convicting me. I said, okay, I'll go. Came, go through the trial, and look where the Lord's brought me. But look, what if I wouldn't have listened to my preacher? I could still be serving in Resurrection Bay Baptist Church today just fine. I could still be leading music every Sunday. I could still be a youth pastor, but it wouldn't have been what God wanted. And I'm so thankful for a preacher who spends time on his knees in prayer for me so that when I don't make very wise decisions, he and the Lord can come to me and say, listen, this is what you need to do. I'm so thankful for a preacher who cares. I'm so thankful for a preacher who prays. It's okay to trust your preacher. So, have your preacher behind you. Make it fit for thyself in the field. Make it comfortable. Learn to love it. Appreciate what God has given you. After these things, then you build your house. You don't build it in a place where you are prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, just to walk away. But then came the devil. Verse 5 says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. You know what I want to reference the axe head as this morning? I want to reference that axe head as your joy. Here's what's happening. You're out there building, and you're happy, and you're cutting down trees, and good things are happening. You're smiling. The Lord's working. And all of a sudden, your axe head falls into the water. Now, how good is an axe without an axe head? Let me ask you this. How good is a Christian with no joy? Hello? Remember what I said to remember? Where fell it? Here's what happens. The devil stepped in. He stole this man's joy away. But how do I get my joy back? Well, here's what you do. Many of us, we go years and years and years in bitterness and anger, and we just let that thing eat us up. I'm never going to forgive that person. They don't deserve it. It's not for them. It's for you. You want to find your axe head? You got to go all the way back to the place where you dropped it. You got to revisit. So you mean to tell me I need to go back and experience that again? Oh, yes. And think about what Jesus experienced for you while you're doing it. Think about all of the weight of sin that fell upon Jesus. Think about the fact that God the Father had to turn his back on that because he became sin for us. And look, where did you lose your axe head? I'd say, listen, when the Lord showed me this, I'm telling you right now, I know right where I lost mine. And it was tough going back to pick it up. It was even tougher to call those people and say, look, I'm not angry at you anymore. I don't hate you. I never hated you. But I just really didn't understand you. I didn't like the decisions you made when I was a kid. Sure, I wanted what everyone else around me had. But look, I understand circumstances happen. But I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be bitter anymore. I want you to know that today I'm taking you off the leash. And I'm taking myself off the leash from the devil. I'm choosing to forgive. Hey, look what he said right here. But as one was falling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." You know what? Your joy does not belong to the devil. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy comes from the Lord. You know what the devil tries to do? He tries to borrow it for sometimes. And how often do we let him borrow it? How long is he allowed to borrow it? How long are you going to choose to not forgive? Church, listen, you can come here Sunday morning, Sunday night. It doesn't matter. You'll never be as effective for the Lord as you would be if you would choose forgiveness. I can testify. It's hard to preach with a bitter heart. It's hard to sing with a bitter heart. It's hard to even want to come sit on the pew on Sunday morning and just put my arm up here and be like, is this ever going to be over? You wonder why you come to church and the preacher preaches and the songs are singing and everyone around you smiling, and yet you can't crack a smile. You can't love the Bible. You can't appreciate Sunday school. You can't love your wife the way you want to. You can't love your husband the way you want to. You can't be the dad you want to be. You can't be the mom you want to be. You can't be the Christian that you ought to be, because you're choosing bitterness. It's a choice. And let me tell you something. Bitterness is of the devil. It's not of God. I told you it was a pretty personal message. I think that's my wife coming in. Nope, that's not my wife. Don't choose bitterness. Verse number 5. The Bible says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. He cried and said, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." Look at this. And the man of God said, here again, here's the preacher stepping in. The man of God said, "Where fell it?" Listen, listen, guys, listen up. The world is never going to say, go back and visit the place where you got hurt. Look at the world. Why do you think people want to change who God created them to be? I dare you to go out and ask the homosexual today, hey, why did you choose this? 99% of them are going to say, because I did not have a daddy growing up in my life. We don't think about that, because most of us had that. I didn't have a daddy. I was raised by women. Did you know that God designed a home to be a dad and a mom? Go ask those young ladies why they choose to be who they are. They might tell you, hey, because I didn't have a daddy growing up. Or maybe I was abused growing up and I hate men because of it. Reality check. Just being honest. Hey, where fell it? Where fell it? Revisit the place. Look what he said. The man of God said, where fell it? And he took him right to the place. He said, preacher, my joy fell in right there. And that's a tough step, guys. When you go back and you get close to that spot, and the devil's like, don't go there. You don't want to go there. Don't you remember what they did? Don't you remember what he did? Don't you remember what she did? Don't you remember what happened here? And you get close to that place, and you can just see your joy where you lost it. And you say, right there. This is where I lost it. And here's what happens. The man of God said, he cut down a stick, he cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. This is how God works. When you're getting ready to choose forgiveness, God's going to expose the lies of the devil. So your axe head's at the bottom of the water when you're living in bitterness. Right? But when you come back and you're ready to forgive, God's going to expose everything you need to forgive. The man of God threw that stick in the water, and God took care of the rest. The iron did swim. But oh, it's not over yet. Because here's the deal. How many of us now, when we're looking at what we got to forgive, are willing to choose to reach down, pick that up and say, you know what? I forgive you. I want my joy back. Getting to that place where the iron swims is not over. You know what he said? Therefore said he, take it up to thee. I could imagine him looking at that axe head swimming. What would your eyes look like? Why is that piece of steel swimming in the water? That's weird, right? Let me tell you what that is. That's God. And you reach down and you say, this is where I lost my joy. I know who I need to forgive. I know what I need to forgive. But here's the question this morning. Will you choose to put out your hand and take it up and forgive? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Crystal's going to come this morning. I don't want to prolong this. This altar's open this morning.